Welcome to another edition of the weekly Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm Jeff White from virginiasports.com, and my guest is a regular on this show, Ron Sanchez, the associate head coach of the men's basketball team. For the Hoos, the season starts Friday night with a game against UNC Greensboro at John Paul Jones Arena. Ron, I know you have a million things to do before then, so I appreciate your making time to swing over to U-Haul. How you doing?
Great, man. Always nice to be here, and you know, excited to start the season and, you know, kind of get this shit moving.
For you and Tony Bennett, Jason Williford, Mike Curtis, Ethan Saliba, and Ronnie Weidman, who runs everything behind the scenes, this will be your ninth season working together at UVA, which is a long run in modern college hoops. What does that familiarity that you all have with each other mean, you know, for the day-to-day operation?
Oh, it's easy because now we're not, you know, we kind of hit the ground running. There isn't any hesitation with things. We communicate well. You know, we're kind of ahead of the curve with some of those things. But there's also a negative, you know, because we've been working together for so long that, you know, it's kind of like that brother relationship where, you know, you kind of just got to get away from each other for a few minutes. But we do have a great working relationship.
Your wife will appreciate that you said a brother relationship and not a marriage. As a coach here, you have a unique perspective, having also worked with Tony at Washington State. How have you seen him change from his first year as a head coach to this will be his 12th, I think?
Well, the beauty about Tony is, you know, he never thought he knew everything. Tony's always in the pursuit of knowledge and learning, you know. And the beauty about him is, you know, in the last 12 years, it's the one thing that has not changed. You know, he's always seeking ways to be better, you know, personally, professionally, and with his team. Now, you know, and watching him from his first year till now, I can say he's, you know, a lot calmer now. You know, he has a bigger, you know, once you get a few of those games under your belt and you get a few years under your belt, you know, knowledge is a beautiful thing, you know, and experience is amazing because, you know, you learn a lot from your failures, you know, and as a head coach, he's had a lot of success, but, you know, he's also kind of hit some valleys and has always used those as learning opportunities.
You also work with and for his father, Dick Bennett. As Tony gets older and more experienced, is he more like Dick Bennett was?
Yeah, he has all of his dad's great qualities. You know, you know, Tony's dad is an amazing human being. I cannot even express how much I enjoyed working for him. He's just, you know, an encyclopedia, not only from a basketball standpoint, but also how he, you know, helped young men grow. And that's the quality that Tony has. You know, I'm sure that his father has allowed him and taught him to, you know, to value all the big things. And, you know, Tony is a lot like his dad when it comes to those.
The team had two close scrimmages in the preseason. We're allowed to talk about them now that they're in the past. Mm-hmm. The first was at home against Richmond. Mm-hmm. The second was this past weekend or last weekend in Philadelphia against Villanova. Mm-hmm. You do this every year. How much do the scrimmages give you a sense of what the season is going to be like? Have you found a strong correlation between the two? Or
You know, what those scrimmages provide is great feedback, you know, for not where you are, but also the things that you have to work on. And, you know, we always try to add, you know, two teams that are either completely different, you know, where Richmond is, you know, kind of a Princeton offense zone matchups, right. You know, and, you know, Villanova is supposed to be one of the best teams in the country this year. So, you know, those experiences do allow us to kind of get a gauge as to where we are currently and, you know, what are the things that we need to improve on.
Seems to be a lot of mutual respect between the Villanova and Virginia programs and coaching staffs. Mm-hmm. And obviously there have been two great regular season games and then the scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Yep. Do the programs do things in similar ways, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've at times even, you know, have recruited some of the same players. Yeah. And, you know, Jay Wright is, in my opinion, you know, one of the one of the bright stars in college basketball. Obviously, he's had a lot of success, and you know, I've kind of followed him from, you know, even his days at Hofstra in New York, and his teams are well coached. They challenge you. You know, we really have enjoyed the relationship with that program.
Unless a team wins the NCAA championship or the NIT, its season almost always ends with a defeat. Not all losses feel the same. Did losing to Florida by that margin in the NCAA tournament lead to any more off-season review of the program than if you'd lost by 2 points?
Yes, you know, you have to really look at yourself and try to identify areas of improvement, you know. And I know that we battled some, you know, illnesses and, you know, we had issues that kind of led or contributed to that type of play and, you know, the youth of Mamadi and, you know, Ty and Kyle, you know, in that big setting, of course, is, you know, another, you know, element that contributed. But, you know, we did look at ourselves. That, you know, we always analyze our offense, our defense, you know, areas that we can improve, how teams try to attack us and so on, and try to grow from that. So, losing by that margin, I think, honestly, still keeps me up at night. It's going to bother me forever. You know, had we lost by two, it would have
that bothers you in a different way. Because then you think about one play had it gone differently.
Exactly. Losing doesn't feel good. It doesn't matter if it's by 20 or 30. There's always something there.
There is always an intense fascination among fans with young players, the guys who haven't seen a lot of time. But let's talk first about your veterans. I think, well, it's fair to say Devin Hall, Isaiah Wilkins, Jack Salt have played the most minutes. They're upperclassmen. All have been steady contributors. Is it realistic to think any or all of those guys can make another kind of significant jump this season?
Yes, definitely. The one thing I will say about those three, Jack, Isaiah,
and they're Devin, your captains too.
They are our captains. Their leadership is undeniable. They lead by example. They are verbal leaders. They do things well on the floor, off the court. There is another step for them to take, and Devin Hall has worked really hard from his first year, you know, to now his fifth year, and you know, his work ethic has just continually improved. Isaiah and Jack are committed to being the best athletes that they can, and I do believe that they will show improvement on the floor this season.
Then you've got kind of your next tier of guys. Well, you got Nigel Johnson, who's a graduate transfer from Rutgers, who has four seasons of college basketball in a program. How has he looked? I know joining this program midstream is not necessarily the easiest thing to do.
Right. Nigel shows that he has physical gifts. You know, he's fast. He can create plays off the dribble. You know, his biggest challenge is coming in understanding all the things that we require, particularly on the defensive side of the floor. He's growing in that area. I think he's a guy that, because of his physical gifts, will probably get it a little bit quicker than most. And also, you know, his past experiences playing with different coaches and different programs. You know, he's a really good addition to this group that we have.
Three players gained a tremendous amount of experience as freshmen last year. Mamadi Diakite, who was a redshirt freshman, then Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome. I know they've all worked hard in the offseason. Have you seen improvement from each of those?
Yes. Again, I go back to just having a game experience. Is that there's no bigger teaching tool than that. And those three guys got a lot of minutes last season. And I do believe that just having been on the floor against high-level competition, as the games were on, the games will slow down for them a bit. Kyle had flashes, as had Ty, and Mamadi obviously showed, you know, a lot of bright spots as well.
If I had a dollar for every time somebody asked me about your two redshirt freshmen, DeAndre Hunter and Jay Huff, I could buy a house in your neighborhood. do expectations for those two need to be tempered a little bit? I mean, obviously they're both talented kids, but they have not played college basketball before.
Right, and I go back to the same, as I stated previously, is they don't have any game experience. So you know, there's going to be a level of nerves and, you know, in a hectic environment. How are they going to handle that? You know, when you watch them in an individual workout, you're like, you can be wowed,
yeah.
You know. But again, now they got to do that with 9 other guys on the floor, you know, or 8 other guys on the floor, and be able to do that in a hostile environment, a competitive environment with time and score, and, you know, kind of understanding all of those things. And so I would say yes, you know, because they haven't had that yet.
You have 2 true freshmen, Marco Anthony and Frankie Badocchi. Frankie's recovering from knee surgery and will redshirt this season. Marco has been out there playing in the scrimmages and at every practice, full go. Do you have a sense of what he might be able to contribute this season?
Yeah, you know, as far as the young guys, including Jay and DeAndre, our expectation for them is the same as the first years. It's not about, you know, numbers or statistical things. We want just more, you know, qualitative type of things. You know, we want effort. You know, we want quality in their defensive positions and their taking care of the ball and those type of things, you know, playing the game the right way. As far as, you know, numerical things, you know, how many points or how many rebounds or, you know, those things will take care of itself. But what I will say about all 4 of those young men is that, you know, every day they do show up and they work really hard. And I think their success is going to be a byproduct of the things that they do on a daily basis.
It's been good to see Frankie back at practice. It seems like his workload increases a little bit every week. He's out there doing some drills. Virginia got in real late with him. You had a connection, right, through a friend? I mean, he was not a guy at this time last year who was on the radar, was he, in November?
No, he was not. We didn't have a scholarship. We were done. And it wasn't a true connection. It was just more of someone who had seen him play,
yeah.
You know, kind of one of the scouting services that, you know, we purchased from the Midwest that helped us identify. We were looking for specifics in physical makeup and athleticism and so on. So that's how his name came across the board. And we kind of speed race through the recruitment.
So, got it done. Yeah. The early signing period for basketball and some other sports started on Wednesday. Going to have 2 signees, Kihei Clark and Cody Statman. Mm-hmm. Cody is from Australia. You have made that trip, haven't you?
I have made that trip multiple times, yes. it's a long trip.
What can you tell us about those 2 guys?
You know, again, both are not, you know, 5-star prospects, but both possess a level of skill. You know, and I think a level of mental toughness, you know, both are young. I mean, Cody, I think he just turned 17 this summer. And, you know, so their best basketball is still ahead of them. You know, they need some physical development and so on. But the basketball IQ and, you know, the character component and all the things that this institution and this program values are definitely there.
UVA's presence in the NBA has steadily grown in recent years. Malcolm Brogdon is with the Bucks. Justin Anderson is with the Sixers. Mike Scott is with the Wizards. London Parentes is a 2-way player with the Cavs who's spending most of his time in the G League so far. I know I've probably talked to you about this on previous podcasts, but that's an important thing for a program, isn't it, to have representation in the NBA?
No, definitely, especially when those guys were not, you know, McDonald's All-American or, you know, guys that were predicted to be.
And there's Joe Harris with the Nets.
Right, yeah. You know, guys
Joe.
Yeah, that were not predicted to be, you know, long, steady NBA guys. I'm excited. I think that, you know, some of the things that we do are great for these young men to as far as their development, and I think that helps us tremendously. You know, Justin being in there, Malcolm being the NBA Rookie of the Year, Joe continuously improving. You know, Mike Scott having, you know, this long tenure, I think is wonderful, and it does. It helps from the recruiting standpoint for sure.
I think a lot of people, most fans, UVA fans, know that Klay Thompson spent 1 year with Coach Bennett at Washington State. There's another Wazoo graduate, a guy I have a particular interest in, Aaron Baines.
Yes.
4 years for you guys there, right?
Played 4 years for us at Washington State.
Are you at Washington State? Are you surprised to see him having the impact? Had 21 points Wednesday night against the Lakers.
You know, honestly, I, you know, and just for the record, Cody and Aaron played for the same club
in Australia.
So we kind of got that connect through that, and they have similarities. And one thing is, and this came from Aaron's coach back then, and we both agree is his work ethic was tremendous. It never ceased.
Who, Aaron's?
Aaron Baines. He was one of those guys that was not going to be denied. You know, he improved from his first year to his second year, and you know, has continued to improve. He's one of those guys that, you know, at times we clashed, you know, when we were coaching him, but it was because he was so passionate about, you know, being a good player, and there's no replacement, you know, for that.
At the ACC Media Day in Charlotte last month, Coach Bennett talked at length, you know, about some of the tactics other schools use to try to plant doubts in the minds of prospects who mm-hmm. are considering UVA. Does the extent of kind of the negative recruiting against UVA surprise you at all, or is that just par for the course in the game?
I think it's just par for the course in the game. I don't know what's being said. I mean, I hear, you know, certain things, and I can't control that. We can't control that. The only thing that we can do is, you know, continue to sell, you know, this institution, this program, this community. This is an amazing place. We have, you know, an amazing athletic department, this institution as a whole, the faculty, the education here, it speaks for itself. If someone, you know, has something negative to say about the success that we've had on the basketball court or the education at this institution, you know, then that's on them. I don't spend a single day wasting time or energy thinking about those things. I control the things that we can control.
One of the real success stories of this basketball program is Mamadi Diani, who did not play for Coach Bennett, but who has been welcomed into the family by you and the rest of the staff. Thanks to you, I did not realize he was back here at Darden, and you gave me a heads up, and I wrote a story about him. And what's it mean to have an alumnus like Mamadi back here for graduate school and also around the program as a positive influence for the current players?
No, it's wonderful because when we sit down and we talk to this young man about the relationship that we're going to have, it's going to go far beyond, you know, your playing years or your 4 years here. Even though he did not have an opportunity to play for us, we did have an opportunity to spend a lot of time with him when we first got the job. And I'll be honest with you, I you know, had a level of respect for him immediately just from the things that came out of his mouth and some of the things that he shared about his own experience and how much he valued this institution as a whole. To have him around our guys and be able to say, hey, you know, I played here, I went and played professionally, and now this is what I'm doing next. Because we always talk about having an exit plan,
right?
And you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to use this institution, you know, from an academic standpoint, to really benefit you once that ball stops bouncing? And I think he's a perfect example of a person who's really embraced this institution, this community, the relationships that come along with you know, a coaching staff and an institution.
All right, final question, then I'll let you go. You guys have been out of your locker rooms for a number of months, mm-hmm. been dressing down the hall. I think fans in some form will see the work that's been done at JPJ, whether it be in videos or photos, but you have essentially a brand new locker room, mm-hmm. meeting rooms, video rooms. What's the project look like to you? And what do you think it means for the program and for the players?
First of all, I'm so happy that we got kicked out of the locker room because it gave me an excuse not to work out. You know, and I think Jason and I share that same theory there. It is a beautiful place. We're so thankful to the athletic department and, you know, Craig Littlepage and, you know, for, you know, following through with some of the things that he said that he was going to do. And, you know, so thankful to the people who donated into the project and, you know, having them come by and see it and, you know, kind of cut the ribbon as we entered for the first time. I think it's a beautiful place. I think our players, you know, that have come through are the ones that, you know, did laid the work on the court for these young guys to, you know, really appreciate it. And I'm hoping that they at some point can come by and see it. But it is. It's a nice place. It's functional. It's not just, you know, for looks. It really does provide an environment for them to, you know, use their time wisely, you know, rest well, eat well, you know, and prepare for practices. And also, to be honest, you know, I think will help them get some academic work done in a better place.
Will you be able to slip off and take a nap in there occasionally?
If I do that, I think that Tony might remove my title.
Well, listen, it seems like it wasn't that long ago that you were playing at JPJ. You're back there Friday night. Yes. We'll see you then.
Thank you so much. Always nice to be with you.
All right. In addition to the men's basketball game, there will be an abundance of UVA athletic events in Charlottesville this weekend. Swimming and diving, and NCAA cross country regional, NCAA field hockey, NCAA women's soccer, rowing, and women's basketball. For information on all these events, check virginiasports.com. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with another podcast.